Please welcome Nina Eggert.
So are some of you gardeners? Yeah. So if I said to you, I've got some seeds for tulips, what would you say to me? You'd say, Nina, you fool. Tulips don't come from seeds. They come from bulbs, right? So I listen to most of my novels now rather than read them. And I was listening to Paulo Coelho's book on Mata Hari a few weeks ago. And he has this little scene in which Mata Hari, she's going off to be married in Indonesia, and a relative gives her some seeds of tulips to take with her to remember that she's from Holland. And I go, Paul, tulips don't come from seeds, they come from bulbs. Now, it turns out that this is a recurring theme through the novel. So this left me very disturbed for two reasons. One is that you wonder why a award-winning novelist, international novelist, who's charging a lot of money, somebody's published this book, he's had editors, hopefully he's got wives or sons or neighbors or somebody who's reading his book. And nobody in this entire support system has said to him, Paul, tulips don't come from seeds, they come from bulbs. As a writer, I know how important it is to have a group of people around you who look critically at your work. And for me, the other part of just to further what I was concerned about is the fact that if this guy doesn't have people correcting him on a subtle but clearly obvious point, he's taking us on this journey where he's trying to tell us this story, and he's recreating materials that he claims that he's found new information about Mata Hari, and we're supposed to believe this whole fictional story. But I can't trust him now. The whole book sort of implodes because he has got a set of friends and supporters who haven't held him on a critical minor point that everybody on the planet knows, that tulips don't come from seeds, they come from bulbs. Now, as a writer, I can appreciate that even if you have a group of friends and editors around you, you can say something that will go to print wrong. I've done it a couple times myself. I've mislabeled a couple of photographs in books, and you know, they come back to bite me every time you Google my name and there's a picture of a mislabeled photo. It's terrible. It's awful. You don't want that to happen to you. So for me, one of the most important things in my life, and what this story is really about, is about finding groups of people that you can trust as your editors. So now that I've moved to Ashland, Oregon, I lived in the Bay Area for 40 years, and I moved a few years ago to Ashland, Oregon, intending to spend my winters down here, so I'm a little bit local. And I wanted to start writing plays. A second chance is that I finally had enough time, and I wanted to start writing some plays that I had in my head. And there was a playwriting group, and they meet once a week. They're all retired folks. Most of them have had different professional jobs. They're very intelligent. And most of them are men in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they've read one or two books on playwriting, and they consider themselves experts on playwriting. So I bring in my work, and for me, when I come to a writer's group, I come with warts and all, and I want to present the material, and I want to hear back from people what is working and what isn't working so that I can fix it, so that I don't go to print saying that tulip seeds You know, I want people to catch those mistakes. And I feel it my responsibility to do the same as a favor to the other people in my group. And I went to this group, and it was very clear that these gentlemen had spent their whole lives oblivious to who women were. And the characters that they were writing were absolutely not in touch with how women would respond. And if I tried to critique them, you know, in the spirit of helping them so that they didn't have their tulip seeds out for the public, they were very defensive. And by that same token, I didn't then feel that I could trust to bring my works into them because I didn't feel I would get the kinds of information that I would want as feedback so that I could then take my place to the next level. The final straw was they would have one play reading a month, a public play reading a month, where something had been vetted sufficiently in their minds to take it to the public. And this was one of the founders of the group, who I hadn't seen this play before. You have a couple. He's an academician, and she's, I forget what her job is. They're sitting and eating breakfast. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And a little freshman sits there. She's very pretty. She's described as very pretty. And she comes in, and the wife says, oh, by the way, this is the girl that's going to be living with us for the next year. There's been no mention of it. There's, you know, nothing building up to it in the dialogue. And then in the next scene, this freshman starts hitting on the professor whose house she's supposed to be living at for the next year. So she's putting her academic career at risk, her living situation at risk. No explanation as to why she would all of a sudden start hitting sexually on this gentleman. And, you know, we don't need to go on with the rest of the story, but it's very clear that whoever was vetting this gentleman's play ahead of time wasn't giving him, you know, the feedback on tulip seeds, right? So I choose to articulate in, you know, because there's a feedback section to the play reading, and I said, look, you know, you have to, if you're going to write a play, you have to give some sort of realistic characterization to your characters. And I said, you know, if a woman is going to, if a teenager who's very pretty and can have any boy on campus is going to hit on a older man, she's got to have some sort of motivation for that. And the room explodes with, no, it happens all the time. And I'm going, dream on. So I take that story, and I, you know, like any self-respecting writer, it becomes the subject of my next play. And so I have a couple sitting at the breakfast table. She's an editor. He's a math teacher, high school math teacher. And so she's editing, she's relaying the same story I just relayed to you as the book that she's editing for her job. And it starts a discussion about male objectification of females. I think that probably is the best way to articulate that. And it moves, sadly, to the reading of a real quote from the Portland Oregonian about how we in Oregon have a human trafficking problem that is, and so they're talking about it. But this is farcical, so it's all done in a comedic fashion, you know, with a lot of repartee. And then it moves to the next section, which is their teenage daughter, who's now a freshman in college, but she's moved back home for economic reasons. I think many of us can relate to that. And the rest of the play sort of comes out as the mother starts realizing that her daughter, per a conversation I'd had with somebody here in San Luis Obispo, was earning extra money turning tricks, which sadly somebody here in San Luis Obispo had told me he had had that experience of meeting someone who was doing that, and this, we concur on that. So then the question was, who is going to be my second chance writers group to find a support system where I could read this play and get some feedback on it? And I ran into two women waiting in line to go see a play. And they said, we have a writers group. Why don't you come to our writers group? So I went to this writers group, and the person who read ahead of me offended the number one rule of fiction writing, which is that you show, you don't tell. And she told and she told and she told and she told a story for 15 minutes that ends up with her character self-immolating at the Trump inauguration. So it's timely to today. However, disturbing in many, you know, both in terms of writing and in terms of its characterization. And the women in the group said, oh, this is wonderful. So I thought, okay, am I going to read my play? So I read my play, and I'm telling the jokes, and I'm telling the jokes, and I'm telling the jokes, and nobody's laughing. And my play absolutely died. And the woman who had self-immolated her character told me, maybe you don't realize this, but this is a radical feminist group. So much for my second chance. Thank you.